when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all you precious Blood River Radio family members out there, especially the ones that keep us on the air. We got a huge, huge show tonight, a huge, huge broadcast. I may have to dispense with some of the niceties we usually do. But, you know, people, this is the one thing we cannot ever dispense with is our prayer. So, by the way, you're listening to Blood River Radio. We are proudly syndicated nationally by Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman, who I just got through speaking to a minute ago. He's a great guy. Anyway, let me look at my calendar over here. This is February the 8th, the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Almighty. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. That's it, folks. I don't care what church you go to. It can be, you name the church, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ plus nothing. And with that, if you will, people, just bow your head. We're going to say a quick prayer, our official Blood River Radio prayer. Almighty Father, thank you so much for bringing me once again more in behind this microphone. As you know, God, I had a very close call Tuesday, was in the emergency room, got out of there alive. It was kind of questionable for a while, but dear Lord, you pulled me through. So I think I've got work left to do, Lord. But anyway, Lord, not to get too long-winded here, thank you again for bringing me here. Thank you for giving us the wisdom and the courage and the ability and the desire to do your will. And what is that will? That is to fight the enemy of God, the enemy of Jesus Christ, their father, the devil, and all his minions. If you will, Lord, keep us going, protect all of our friends and our loved ones, and let us have a great broadcast tonight. Let us do good quality work and give you all the glory, God. I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Dear people, this is going to be a kind of unusual program. I'll give you a quick outline. First of all, we kind of give the donor. Well, this week we had OJZ, my Purple Heart brother, went to Vietnam. He was up close and personal with the VC. Got the Purple Heart to prove it. He is one of our main donors. Without people like Jay-Z from Blood River Radio's own AZ, there would be no Blood River Radio. It's that simple, folks. It takes money to run a radio program. And Jay-Z is he's pretty much about two units of blood in the body of Blood River Radio. Anyway. People, here's a quick outline. We have this very, very exciting program. We have my brother, Paul Frum, coming on tonight. Paul is going to, he's going to take this interview the first hour. I'm just going to bring Paul and our super special guest in and out of the breaks. And our super special guest is Les Borey. He's been in the gulag in communist Canada, just like we have a communist United States. Communist Western Europe. He was in there. What was he in there for? For thought crime and crime speak. We'll let him talk about that in just a second. That's what we're doing in the first hour. Second hour, we're going to pick up Robert Mazur. He's former DEA agent. He infiltrated the Mandelin. I know it's kind of tough to pronounce it. I used to think it was Mandelin, but it's not. It's Mandelin. He infiltrated the Medellin drug gang, a.k.a. I think the Cali drug cartel. He helped bring Pablo Escobar down. The guy's got the guts. I mean, just ice water his veins. He's coming on second hour. Third hour, we got another political prisoner coming on. We have Jacob Goodwin coming on. And he's been out of prison about three or four months. He was in prison in the Battle of Charlottesville when I was up there, some of my other brothers. Basically, he was in prison for hitting a Negro in the nose, a feral animal Negro who was attacking him and trying to kill him. And that's why he was in prison. So, people, so much for that. Now, right now, as promised, I'm going to go to Paul Fromm, my brother Paul Fromm. He's going to completely control this first hour. His baby, he gets credit for it. He did it, and I'm really excited about what he's done because we need to get the news out about just how much communism there is here in the United States and Canada. With that, how are you doing, Paul?
Well, I'm doing really well, and I want to also praise the Lord for keeping you with us. Eddie, you're indispensable, so I'm glad you overcame that situation earlier this week, and I want to bring on a great freedom fighter in Canada here, a person who's really paid his dues in the Canadian Gulag for nothing more than expressing his views. And it's Les Borey, and welcome, Les, to Blood River Radio.
Well, thanks very much, Paul, and thank you, Eddie, for having me today.
Yes, sir, thank you. Thank you with all my heart for coming out here. You're one of our heroes, brother.
Well, thanks very much, guys. You guys are doing a lot of work as well. Well, I was in there, Paul, and you guys as well out in America there were getting the word out about me. And I appreciate all the people that tried to get me out of jail. And I also appreciate all the people that are working for freedom right now. We've got a big problem with communism in Canada and in America right now. So let's see what we can do.
Yeah, so I think some of our audience will have know a little bit about you. We've talked about you before, but perhaps you could just outline who you are, Les, and what got you into the toils of the injustice system.
Well, I'm just a regular guy from Canada. I'm 55 years old. I grew up like a lot of other people, just like a working man or a working lady, right? I'm just trying to get by, trying to get through life. And I found out that, you know, there's people working against us out there to try and keep us all divided, to keep them in power, and to try and keep us poor so that we won't feel that we have any kind of power to change anything. You know, and I got into politics in about 2010 officially. That's when I ran in my first election. And I didn't know what I know now, obviously. That was a long time ago, but I had a good understanding about banking at the time, so I thought I'd try to change our banking system and get rid of this interest charging banking that we have, this usury. Because every time in our system right now that we print money, the banks always want back more than they've printed to lend to people, to sell them. And that's like foreign investment. They're always taking more out of our economy than they put in. So I knew that early on, but I didn't find out a few other things that we're not allowed to talk about in Canada till later on. Now, I didn't say too many things that were, criminal back in the day. But after COVID came in, now I can't say too much because I'm still waiting for sentencing right now, but I'll try to give you a bit of the background on what got me in here, into this situation. When COVID came in, they tried to do a lot of weird things to us. They did these things. They locked us down. They basically forced us to take vaccines, the people that succumbed to the pressure. And some people knew that they didn't want to take them. They maybe even knew that these things were very dangerous, and they took them anyway because the choices people were given were, take the vaccines or lose your job, lose your house, lose your food, you know, lose your means to survive, right? So around this time when this came in, my messaging changed to the public. And I just responded by telling the people what I thought was a dangerous situation and who was behind it all, who are the general big players in this. So I did these things, and I got in trouble for them. I also suggested to people that, now I didn't expect people to actually come to my house with their guns and ammo, but I did say these things on the internet there. And I invited people to my house with their guns and ammo, and we'd go on safari to make arrests, right? I was found guilty of threatening police for those words and threatening politicians. It started off by me being threatened charged with threatening Justin Trudeau, but those charges were expanded to include other politicians like Pierre Poilievre. More than likely, he's going to be our future prime minister. And in my opinion, he's just another version of Trudeau, that's all. Just in a different coat, you know, different outfit. He's going to bring us the same thing.
He's the conservative party leader.
Yeah, they're conservative in name. What's that, Paul?
We have to go to our first commercial break. It's going to be about about 2.5 minute break. Be right back, people. This is Don't Go Anywhere. We're listening to political prisoner Les Borey being interviewed by my brother Paul Fromm. Be right back, folks.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going right back. Like I said, just in case you're just now tuning in, we have my brother Paul Fromm. I'm really proud. He has agreed to take this up to bring Les Borey on. He's doing this interview with Les Borey, the political prisoner. We want to emphasize he is in Canada. So I think they may be even worse off than we are with the communists have taken over. So he has to watch what he says. But with that, I'm going to shut up. Go ahead. I want to emphasize that. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, we are a theocracy in Canada. That doesn't mean we believe in the Lord Jesus or even in Allah. Our state religion is the Holocaust, and it is a crime to deny or to question the so-called Holocaust. So we are, you know, in interviewing Les, I want to keep him out of trouble, so there's, you know, sometimes we are maybe a little hazy in the way we say things. It's not because we've got brain fog. It's because we have a police state up here. Anyway, Les, what was your, how did you make your comments? What sort of format did you have?
Well, I made them on my radio station, my radio channel. It was called Patriot Posse. It was my radio show, actually, on Revolution Radio. And I had a show on Studio A, I believe it was, at 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings, and it ran until 12. I had a two-hour show. So I was two shows into my broadcast, and then that was it. My show has been off the air since then when I got arrested on Monday. after my my last 2-hour broadcast. And
you had a broadcast on a Saturday, and 2 days later you were arrested.
I was. It must have been something else. I guess they didn't like what I had to say. I also posted these broadcasts on my BitChute channel, you know, and I tried to look presentable. I came out in a suit and a tie for my radio broadcast, and I videotaped these shows. And had I not done that, they might not have come to get me. I don't think that they would have bothered, really. You know, I'm not sure if they would have or not. But once it hits the video, they really... What's that?
Well, when you say they came and got you, could you describe for the audience what that was like?
Well, it was like me getting off a day of work and walking out the front door of my my place of work, which was a machine shop. I was a machinist. And there was a van someone told me about before I went out that they said it was full of police. So I just kept my eyes fixed on the back door of the police van as I'm walking towards my truck, wondering if I'm going to make it to my truck before anything happens. And nope, the door opened. A guy with a rifle comes out. He points the rifle at me, screaming conflicting instructions. Like, they weren't clear at all. You think a guy with a gun would have his words ready to go, but, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. And a guy after him comes out with a dog. And then I just stood there because, like I said, that they didn't give me any kind of coherent instructions. It was just like, do this, do that, do this, do that. It's like they're just yelling at you, screaming their heads off. So I just stood there with my car keys in one hand and my lunch bag in the other hand, and I was arrested. And then the same scene played out at my house with my wife at home by herself, and the police came, and they pointed loaded guns at my wife's head after that and arrested her for my speech violations for a few moments while they searched the home. And then they...
Uh-oh. Okay, let me tell you. People, we have just a brief what we call a snafu in our computer system. Paul and Les have dropped off. But I'm going to carry the ball until they get back. Briefly, I can say this because Les is not on the air. He meant to, but you know, if you notice, one of the first things he said that probably, and I think it's probably the big thing got him in trouble before he mentioned COVID, he talked about he would like to do something to change the usury banking system in Canada. The banking system in Canada is controlled by the same tribe that controls the banking system in the United States, be it Panama, be it France, Germany, you name it. It's the same tribe controls the entire banking system until they get back. He mentioned that they loan money. Well, really, these central banks, they have no money to loan. Here's how that works. They print up bonds, what they call bonds out of paper, very fancy pieces of paper with they look really almost like a college degree or something with beautiful ink, stuff, all of that. Anyway, they print up bonds, and they sell these bonds to people like the United States government. That's where when the United States government gets any of their money, what they can't raise from taxes. What they raise from taxes, I don't remember the exact figures, but it's probably really just a fraction. I'm going to say maybe minuscule. Of the national budget. Well, getting back to the point, to the gist of this, they sell these bonds, they being the Federal Reserve System, which is owned, it's a private banking system, just like the International Bank of Settlements. By the way, the International Bank of Settlements is the granddaddy of all central banks. Before I got down too many rabbit trails, it's interesting enough, I was talking to CW last week, and he tells me that the International Bank of Settlements has declared gold, not Bitcoin, folks, has declared gold as the only tier one system of payment in the world. Get that again. The only tier one payment currency in the world. Well, going back where I was, the tribe that prints these bonds sell them all over the world. Not only get this, they print these bonds out of worthless paper. They have nothing. For instance, just to say, when I get too complicated, just say, for instance, say France, I'll say the United States government. The United States government wants to borrow money from the Fed, the Federal Reserve, to send to the Ukraine. And we all know what happens to that money. I mean, there's more siphoning going off that money from here to the Ukraine, you name it, anywhere else as you'd like to name, than you can possibly imagine. But, okay, now when the Fed print these bonds, keep in mind, the money never exists. Let's say the United States government or France, some country borrows, let's say they want to borrow 100, let's say with billions in Canada. Say the United States needs another $3 billion to send to the Ukraine. When they print this, I'm getting a call from Paul Fromm. But Lizzie, if you're there, Paul Fromm is calling my phone right now. But I'll have to go to him on a break. But anyway, getting back until we pick up Paul and Les, this money, it never existed. Keep in mind, the money never existed. The $100 billion the United States borrows from the Federal Reserve, it never existed. It doesn't exist anywhere until the Fed produces those bonds. And when they create the bonds, they sell the bonds to the United States government. So they send more money to Ukraine. Well, they charge the United States government $100 billion right off the bat. When they do that, they make that make interest off those bonds. Les Borey said, when the debtor, say the United States government, when they pay that $100 billion back to the Fed, they have to pay the $100 billion plus interest. So you see, I mean, it's incredible. In fact, I was talking to CW. It's probably the greatest scam, the greatest lie in the history of the universe, other than the so-called Holocaust. And I couldn't say that when Les was on the air. But that's what he was talking about the usury. And that's listen. And I know maybe off some rabbit trails, but see, that's what got JFK killed. John Fitzgerald. Excuse this hack, y'all. Just as a brief aside, I was in the emergency room again Tuesday. I had a pretty heavy bout of what they call supraventricular tachycardia. And you come about as close to dying as you can come without dying. I know we have some of my nurse and doctor friends that listen to us. They know what I'm talking about. But this is the quickest side. Bear with me. But I have an appointment March 7th to go into the electrophysiology lab at the VA. And they're going to go in and do what they call heart mapping. They're going to map my heart and see if they can find the little piece of tissue. I hope and pray they can. The little piece of tissue in my heart that's emitting these ectopic electrical signals. And that's, see, my heart is strong. I mean, this is like a steel vise, they say. This is the electrical problem. But anyway, that's where I was. I was out. It was pretty bad. I had that for about a little over an hour. I was taken into a big hospital here in Memphis. And I left what they call AMA against medical advice because I didn't have any insurance. And I wanted to go to the VA, and I knew that this would pass. If it didn't, I knew I would die. But it's always passed before. But if I can get this thing fixed, I'm sorry I'm going too long about my personal problem, but I know our family likes to listen to it. If I get this thing fixed, I'll be good to go because guess what? In November, I'm already scheduled to run the damn New York Marathon again for St. Jude. Anyway, so getting back what we're talking about, folks, we're going to take a quick, about a 5-minute break. We're going to see if we can get Paul back on. Be right back, folks. Hang on to your seat. If they don't come back, I'll finish explaining the banking system to you. Be right back, folks.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. President Trump defending the work of Elon Musk's Government Efficiency Office. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
When it comes to slashing government jobs and agencies, Trump supporters are thrilled while critics are up in arms. The president says he's pleased with Musk's efforts so far, and there's more to come.
I've instructed him to go check out education, to check out the Pentagon, which is the military.
Musk's team has gained access to internal databases, some of which include private financial information on Americans. That access by political appointees has stirred privacy concerns. Greg Clugston, The White House.
So meanwhile, the Trump team continues tracking government spending and using tariffs to halt the flow of fentanyl from China into the U.S.
China is very, very fearful that they're going to incur tremendous costs in terms of all this government action without any of the normally associated benefit, again, because of the tariffs that Trump could slap onto all of their products.
That is E.J. Antoni of the Heritage Foundation. Also at townhall.com, Israel and Hamas conducting another hostage exchange for prisoners.
Hamas releases three more hostages, Eli Sarabi, Ohad Ben-Ami, and Or Levy. Cheers from Israelis watching on an outdoor screen in Tel Aviv, the three looking gaunt and frail, all taken when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. In exchange, 183 Palestinian prisoners were released. With Gazans cheering for them on the strip, this was the fifth swap in the six-week ceasefire deal. I'm Julie Walker.
Security very tight in New Orleans. Super Bowl 59 coming up tomorrow, and Donald Trump will become the first sitting president to ever attend the game. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Hear the term living better. What do you think about? More money, a bigger house, maybe a yacht? What about how you feel physically? How do you wake up each day? How do you sleep during the night? What activities you can and cannot do? When you feel good, life is good. So if pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally, developed by doctors. It doesn't just mask pain temporarily. It helps reduce or even eliminate pain. How do I know? I absolutely am a customer. I take Relief Factor daily. No lower back pain for me anymore. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. Give their three-week quick start a try. It's only $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Just one phone call, 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor, relief wherever you're hurting. In 3 weeks or even days, Relief Factor can give you a chance to rediscover the true meaning of living better again. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's 800-4-RELIEF for the one and only Relief Factor.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial.
Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Dear Blood River Radio family, a weird thing has happened. I'll explain what's happened. I have no clue. Lizzie knows about it, and Jay knows about it, a.k.a. Lizzie, a.k.a. Miss Teenage America. The system, some kind of way, has crashed. I'm about as tech-savvy as a wild goose. But anyway, here's the problem. We can't get callers coming in, and we can't call out to the callers. So, folks, you're going to be stuck with me for a while until we get the system going. I hope we can get it going for the second hour, because we had a dynamite program there playing with Robert Mazor. I just call him Bob. Boy, interesting guy. He ran a marathon. In fact, I won't talk about him right now. But he was a big DEA agent that, and they quit. Here's what happened. Let me talk about Bob later in just a few minutes. Let me go back to what I was talking about, the banking system. Now, this banking system has been around probably since the very first, best of my knowledge, and we're going to get back to this, IRS and the Federal Reserve in a second. But if memory serves, the very first banking central, what we know of today as a central bank, was put in place in London back in the 1700s. And the person who got that started was not an Englishman. What do you know? What is shocker? Can you guess what his nationality was? Gee, he was a Jew. What a coincidence. The guy's name was who was responsible for getting the first central bank going, directly and indirectly, was Abshaw Rothschild. He was the first. He was the granddaddy, the godfather of the Rothschild family. And he was German. And matter of fact, Rothschild, memory serves, in German means red shield. So their family crest was a red shield. Well, Abshaw Rothschild found out, believe it or not, this is going to get back to what Les Morey said about usury and why people will get killed when they start talking about that too much. Probably not me, because I'm not a politician. I have no influence whatsoever in the government. I wish the hell I did. But as an aside, we do have a president that's mentioned it, changing the IRS. I'll tell you about the IRS. I'll tell you about that in a minute if my mind doesn't forget. But getting back to the old Abshaw Rothschild, and we talked some about this a time or two in other shows. Back in the 1700s, he wound up having like four or five sons. He got into banking, and I don't remember what his original trade was. It was something, he wasn't a shoemaker or anything like that, but he found out banking and lending money was his greatest talent, and he got into that, and he, by and by, his sons, he had four or five. I used to know the exact number, but here's what he did. He got them placed in the bank of like Berlin, Germany, Hamburg, Paris, France, London, England, all the major cities of the biggest countries in Europe. He got them placed into the positions of the banking system. Well, and he went to, here's what, and the guy became so powerful, the guy being Abshaw Rothschild, he got total control of the Bank of England. And I think I talked about this earlier on the program, but there was a war between England and France Some people call it the Napoleonic Wars. And, you know, I didn't know this until about a month or two ago myself. I was doing a little bit of research. Napoleon knew what Jews were. He knew what they were up to. He knew their age-old game, going all the way back to Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ took a whip. The Bible says something like a whip of cords. It'd be kind of like, think of a cat of nine tails. And he had to drive the Jewish money changers out of the temple. The first time he ever showed it, maybe, it might have been the only time that Jesus Christ ever showed it, any anger, any physical violence, was when he had to take that whip. And he had to beat those money changers out. He turned their tables over. He turned their pigeons loose, their sparrows that they were selling. And he was infuriated because the Jews were using the temple, his father's house, to trade like ox, animals, pigeons. And they were changing money. You know, all they exchanging, I guess they had I don't know what exactly how many, what the currency was those days. I knew it was gold, silver. They also used a commodity-based system. But anyway, getting back to Amschel Rothschild. In the 1700s, I don't remember the exact date of the Napoleonic War, but Napoleon was fighting Wellington. Wellington was the field marshal, the big Jew from England. They were having this huge battle that we know of today, might have known about it in those days, is the Battle of Waterloo. And get this. This Amschel dude was so smart and so savvy when it came to money. He had an intelligence system throughout France, an ongoing a courier system, kind of like we would think about maybe the Pony Express. And he had them stationed strategically from the battle, where the battle was going between Napoleon and Wellington. He knew. Here's how he knew. Amschel Rothschild, who was in England, he was on the steps of the Bank of England as this battle was going on. I'm sure it took him several hours to get across the English Channel. Well, his special intelligence guys, the courier systems, I think of them as Pony Express riders. The minute that they found out that Napoleon had lost. I'll tell Lizzie, don't let me forget to tell you why I came to really like Napoleon. And I'll tell you why they were at war with Napoleon in just a minute. Well, like going back, the couriers, Amschel Rothschild's intelligence service, rode horses, you know, and like, what do they call it when you have you have like four runners run a mile, you know, instead of just one. Relay. They were doing like relay. They got across the English Channel, and his courier made it to Amschel Rothschild to let him know that Napoleon had lost. Okay, and he knew it way, way before the British government even knew it. And here's why the age-old axiom that knowledge is power can show you it is power on steroids, on steroids, on steroids. Well, Amschel Rothschild was already, he had his gigantic reputation of being the guru's guru when it comes to trading and dealing in money, all kinds of coins, any kind of currency, and especially with stocks and bonds. And by the way, that's around that time with Amschel Rothschild. And I'll tell you what they call you have commodity money, receipt money, then you have fractional reserve, fractional money, and then you have fiat money. Rothschild was pretty much credited with starting the fractional money system. But anyway, getting back to what happened. When he found out about the Rothschild that Napoleon had lost, he went in and started selling all his stock in the Bank of England. And he knew he had this huge audience because he had been, Rothschild had been pacing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to Bank of England. Well, he goes in and he starts selling, like panic selling all his stock at the Bank of England. Well, guess what? All these other big rich dudes that had stock if we're dealing with the Bank of England, guess what they did? They said, "Oh my God, Napoleon has lost. We're gonna lose. We're gonna lose everything we got. We're probably gonna get invaded. And you know, England is in dire danger. London, our banking system. We're in hard. We got to sell, fire sale, and get whatever we can get for our stocks. Because you know, even if we get 10 cents on the dollar, that's better than losing everything." So that's exactly what happened. All these other schmucks, they had the panic sale. And they sold their stock, and it drove the price of the stocks of the Bank of England to almost nothing, to just pennies of what it was worth. Well, people, I'll get back to this when we come back to the break, but guess what? I'll tell you what happened, what Amschel Rothschild did after he sold all of his stock. Be right back, folks.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I was having to undo my lines on this microphone. Just to tell you what's happened, our system, I just call it crashed for lack of a better terminology word, because you know what, folks? I'm not even going to say I hate them in it, because I think every single body, if there's anybody out there that doesn't know that I'm, what do you call it, challenged technologically wise, I'll say retarded, tech-tarded, I'd like to know who it is. But anyway, we have lost the ability to have our guests come on. We can't call out, they can't call in. So I'm going to keep doing what the best I can, and we're going to kind of have to change the program a little bit. I'm having to go from this knowledge I have in my head because we had Les Borie on, and Les Borie. Tell you what I'll do. I'll talk about Les Borie in a minute. Miss Teenage America. Don't let me talk about her guest in a minute. I'm gonna go back to this banking thing because I'm kind of interested in this stuff. Anyway, getting back before we went to the break, we're talking about Amschel Rothschild And when he got the news, this is a quick recap. When he got the news from his couriers, his intelligence system that was far superior to the French or the British intelligence system, he started panic selling his stock in the Bank of England. Well, see, all these people thought, the other big wheelers, the wheelers and dealers, thought that the British had lost the war. And so their money would be, it'd be in danger of becoming almost worthless. So all these other people, when they saw Amschild selling all his money, they went in and did panic selling. Well, listen, the price of the stock, I mean, you could probably use it for toilet paper, really. I mean, that's not too far, big of a stretch. Well, after these people had sold all their damn stock, guess what Amschild Rothschild did? If anybody can guess what it was, just grunt on my other private, on my laptop computer. Well, I don't hear anybody grunting, so I'll tell you. He went in. He bought. People, here's what he did. He bought the entire Bank of England because the stock went to nothing. And he, listen, he engineered that himself. Amschild Rothschild engineered the whole thing. And I know this wasn't even planned in my mind, but I don't think anybody was that smart enough to plan that far ahead to pull a scam like that without help from Satan. I know he didn't get help from God to do something like that, but I really do. I really do. And that goes back to what Biscuit talked about. And I'll say it, the Jews, the tribe, what do you want to think of? We'll talk about the chosen ones, the men that wear the little hats. They of their father of the devil. And that's who they get their power from. But getting back to what I was talking about. After he bought that bank, after he got control of the Bank of England, all right, he basically got control of the banking system in that part of the country, being Great Britain. And that's, believe it or not, I'm going to get this back to Les Borie. And that's when he started loaning money to guess who? Prior to that time, to about the time when he bought the Bank of England, they were making a killing by loaning money to individuals and businesses. Just say, for instance, they had Ford Motor Company back in those days. And I bring Ford Motor Company to mind because I bring that to the forefront because Henry Ford talked about the same thing. But anyway, just say that he loans money to Ford Motor Company. Well, you know, he would make a killing. He'd make really good money by charging interest usury. But guess what he found out? He found out that the greatest profit in the world, and it's not prostitution, although prostitution pays pretty big, and the drug, I'll talk about drugs later, the drug dealing and how that applies to money, et cetera, et cetera. Because we had a guest coming on the second hour, I have to call him and tell him. Unfortunately, we'll probably have to cut him loose. And we'll have to get him on another day. But getting back, he found out that war, there's no business like this. It ain't show business, folks. There's no business like war business. He can make more money on financing other financing countries in times of war. So, and this brings to mind some of the stuff that Professor Anthony Sutton talked about. He read Professor Anthony Sutton. Believe it or not, this all hooks together. He was a professor from Stanford University. He was a big wheel in the Hoover Institute, all these think tanks they had. And he wrote volumes about what I'm talking to you about right now. He wrote volumes. And the title, damn this hack. Still got a little bit left over from that ER visit Tuesday. Anyway, the name of his volumes he wrote was The Best Enemy That Money Can Buy. And you'll know what he meant by that in just a second. All right. Now, let's say, for instance, the Rothschild, I just told you there's no business like war business. Well, he found out that if a country Let's see. Yep. The best enemy money can buy. Before you can loan money to a country, a nation, to that's at war, there has to be at least a danger of war. And believe it or not, all this comes from memory from what I've read books on economics, and especially in big time on The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's kind of like my Bible. You ought to get it, folks. It's kind of hard to get through. It's really thick. But, I mean, I think it's the Bible of Bibles when it comes to if you want to study about money and usury and how evil, how just incredibly evil and satanic the money system is in the world, in the Western world. There've been wars all over there. Before I get too far there, if you have a country that is in no danger, that's not worried about war, well, here's what you have to do. You have to create an enemy of a nation. That's happened over and over and over again. And get this, folks. Just say, for instance, let me think. Right now, what's the Ukraine and Russia's going on? That's not the best example I can think of. Let's go back to World War II and World War I. let's go to World War I. Germany was at peace until about 1914 when the Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated in Austria. Supposedly, that's what got the war started. And believe it or not, there's some credence to that theory. But that was just a small part of what got the First World War started. There was a great jealousy about the British, because the British had got sloth. They were slothy, got sloughing off. They were getting behind technological-wise. They weren't working quite as hard as the Germans, and Germany was getting to be a great power. And so the British government, they wanted to go to war with Germany anyway because they were jealous of them. But there was not that much danger at the time. You have to have an enemy. So they got things stirred up, and I don't have time, and my memory is not that great, to go in and tell you some of the dastardly things they did to get the World War started. Well, I'll give you just a few. One of the ones that comes to mind, probably everybody out there knows about this one, is the ship Lusitania. The reason I'm trying to put this together of the best enemy the money can buy. You have to have a medium. You have to have a boogeyman. I know Sister Monica likes to say, she pointed out the threat of nuclear war that they've been hanging over our head for God. But I know, at least since the 50s, because I'll be 78 in April. And I know, I remember when I was first and second grade, third grade, we had to get under our desk to prepare for these big atomic wars. But anyway, they stirred the war up between Germany and England. And guess what? They did get the war. They finally got the war that they wanted. And the Jews, through the Federal Reserve System and the government of the United States, and keep in mind now, since hope I'm not getting too complex, I hope I'm not getting y'all too confused, but keep in mind now, the Federal Reserve was not put in place until 1913. And that was done really illegally. But I'm not a scholar, but I know, and I believe the people, the lawyers I know that are scholars, they said that it was done in the middle of the night, I think on Christmas break in 1913. Well, and one of the big movers, shakers in that banking system then, and monetary system, was J.P. Morgan. James Pierpont was in Pierpont Morgan. He was off the hit. They thought he was one of the richest people in the world. But come find out, and this is an aside, when he died, they found out he was a millionaire, but nothing as rich as they thought he was. People, we got to go to a quick break. It's going to be a five-minute break. Go get some coffee. Hope we can get our guest on. I'm going to have to call him and let him know we got to cancel him out. So I'll see you after this break, folks. Be right back.